B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In about a half hour, our boy Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News will join us.
Patrick.
Tell us all things going on with the New York Football Giants. It's week one, dude. There's an NFL game in
2 days.
Yeah, like 40 hours?
Thursday night.
Yeah. I can't wait. We're going to be at MGM, I think. That should be a lot of fun. If you're hanging, come see us at MGM.
Mm-hmm.
It might be an Uber situation for your boy.
Mm-hmm.
Simple question. ESPN looked at all 32 NFL teams to identify the X factor for each team. For the New York Giants, they identified their X factor, a guy that White Bryant's really high on, the cornerback, Paulson Adebo. I'm reading now from ESPN. The Giants are going to pressure the quarterback. With a defensive line room of Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Abdul Carter, you'd have to try not to. But we know pressure is not enough for a defense to succeed as quarterbacks get rid of the ball faster than ever before. Young man by the name of Daniels gets rid of that thing pretty quick.
Very quick.
I added that parenthetically. The Giants quarterback struggled last season. 2023 first-round pick Deontay Banks has flashed, but he failed to put together consistent weeks of strong coverage. In 2024, rookie slot Drew Phillips excels as a tackler and a blitzer, but can struggle to produce on the football. They need Adebo, whom they paid in free agency despite a major leg injury, to step up as a CB1. They can hide Banks from the toughest matchups and get safety help his way. They can get Phillips up into the line of scrimmage, pressing across the board and buying time for that pass rush to arrive. The past 1.5 seasons of Adebo were CB1 caliber. 7 picks and 28 passes defense for only 2 touchdowns surrendered. But he must be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Health is wealth, dog.
100%.
What was the Adebo injury? I mean, that's a young guy. He just got paid in his first, his rookie contract just expired. He got paid by the Giants off his work as a rookie with the Saints.
Okay.
I think he broke his leg.
Mm.
Is the femur the big one? The thigh muscle? The thigh bone? Is that the femur?
Yeah.
He broke his femur. I just Googled it.
That's a tough one to break.
Bro, that's the biggest bone in your body.
That's a tough one to break right there.
Now then
when you come back from it, do you completely come back?
The one injury I have never seen a player return from, and this has happened with multiple defensive linemen in my time covering the Washington. When you tear your quad,
yeah.
You're cooked.
Yeah.
That's, think about how important your quad muscle is outside of like your back and your spine.
Yeah.
I can't think of. So the femur is the bone the quad is attached to. That's a big injury. And it happened in mid to late October.
So will he be 100%?
That's a good question for Pat Leonard. I'm jotting that down because I got pens. Adebo health. Bang. We're going to ask Pat that at noon. So ESPN says Adebo is the X factor for the Giants. Who would you say, B, is the X factor for Washington?
In the defensive backfield you're talking about?
No, the whole team.
The X factor is number 5.
He's pretty good.
I mean, the thing about, for me, Jaden is the X factor because if he continues cooking like he was at any, just even close to that, it gives us a chance. But if you want to go with somebody specifically other than him, I believe it's not a person, it's a thing. Having a running game on this football team changes the whole world. If they have a running game and you still can utilize Jaden as you did last year, time of possession worked for them. And because they will have the ball 10 minutes, 8 minutes, 15 minutes and have a damn touchdown at the end. The other team comes on the field, and I don't care a damn who your offensive coordinator is. If a team keeps the ball 7, 8, 9 minutes or more, and they go down and they score a touchdown, it's hard as hell to stay patient. Now you start letting it go. And then you put – what you do for a team is you go away from your game plan where you try to establish a run and then you start doing multiple things off of it, which is the easiest way to win games.
Sure.
You become a pass-happy team. And now you allow that other team to be a one-dimensional team and go after you, and it works in your favor. Because if they know, if I don't score and they get it back and, hell, Jaden goes 7, get a touchdown, go 8 minutes, get a touchdown, you are in dire straits at that point.
ESPN says Deebo Samuel is the Commander's X factor. I'm reading now.
He can be a big plus.
Samuel was already an intriguing player when the Commanders traded for him. A wide receiver barely ever used down the field, best creating after the catch and beyond his athletic prime, but perhaps with some seasons left in the tank. As things have developed further, the recently resolved training camp holdout from Terry McLaurin, Samuel has become even more important. The Commanders expect to spread and shred the field again, so Samuel figures to consistently get 6 or 7 touches a game as a backfield option or receiver on quick run pass options. Mm-hmm. They need him to be dynamic, and while he wasn't the same player last season as he was prior to that, he is still above average. Samuel was 12th among all skill position players in yards after the catch over expectation per NFL Next Gen stats. Austin Eckler was 8th on that list.
Mm-hmm.
If Samuel doesn't bring the juice, the Commanders' options to replace his unique role are understandably thin. I don't disagree with that. But my X factor for the Commanders last year, 5th in the NFL in scoring, 7th in yards gained. They outscored their opponents. I mean, on the season, I want to say they were like almost plus 100 in point differential. It was probably plus 90.
From Scott in Chevy Chase, Scott writes, Kevin, it's the most excited I've been since Coach Joe came back in 2004. And thanks to the open to the show, I had to take the day off from work. Your Tuesday after Labor Day show beginning is my favorite show every year. Thank you, Scott, for that. Yeah, I get fired up too. It's like we can really start focusing on the season, focusing on the big picture of the season. We'll have lots of picks coming up this week, previewing the division. We talked about it a little bit last hour. I love this week. I do. And hope springs eternal, you know, for pretty much 25 to 27 NFL teams every year. We were in that boat, despite knowing deep down that as long as Dan owned the team, we weren't going to have a legitimate shot to do anything great. I think most years it was like, you know what? We're 0-0, and it's the NFL. Anything can happen. And I think going into each NFL season, you know, 25 teams can comfortably say, you know what, this could be our year if things break right. You know, I was on a show last week and somebody said, give me the one or two teams that have no prayer this year. And I thought about it and I said, I guess the Jets and the Browns, maybe, have no prayer. It's Indy, maybe. It's hard to come up with a list of teams that have the Saints. It's hard every year. The NFL gives you that opportunity to retool, to recalibrate, and go have yourself, as my good friend Steve Zabin would say, a season. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. This is the most excited for a season you've been since. And give me the last time you were this fired up for a season. Look, for certain people out there, maybe people like Max, this is it. There's nothing to compare it to. I would say for me, I was pretty fired up for, I was very fired up for the Joe Gibbs return in 2004. But I was also very excited for the 2016 season after Kirk went out and helped lead the team to a division title in 2015. And I was pretty fired up for 2012 and 2013 as well. I thought there was a chance. Hell, I thought 2017 there was a chance they could be decent because they had improved a little bit on defense. But I would say, for me, this is the most excited. This isn't, look, the highest expectations for a season since 2000. The most excited I've been for a season since 2004, the Gibbs return. That was a special moment, the rehiring of Joe Gibbs, the buildup, the return of all of his coaches, Bugs and company, the acquisition of Mark Brunell, the idea that Washington football, Redskins football was going to be back. And you know what? It was clearly the best four-year stretch of football during the Snyder regime. Two playoff seasons in 4 years. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. This is the most excited for a season you've been since. Max, do you even have in your lifetime a season to compare it to?
I mean, 2013 is the closest comparison I'm going to get to it, because that was like the prime of my football love and watching, and it really made me just kind of fall in love with the sport. But yeah, this is the most anticipated season since then, and I don't really know how I feel yet. I try and reel in the Ashburn syndrome. I try and, but I all, at the same time, am trying to stay positive. But it's hard after 25 years of being downtrodden. So it takes some getting used to. But I 2013 is the most excited I've been for this team since then.
Yeah, I mean, the 2013 season had the all-in for week one offseason.
Yeah.
And by the time we got to that opener, there were, for a lot of us, sort of with, closer proximity to what was happening out there, we were starting to hear some of the stories about, what a nightmare he had turned into and how off-putting he was to many in the organization. But, most players and certainly most fans thought, yeah, but did you see him last year? This dude was magic in 2012, had the best, up until that point, the best rookie season of any quarterback in NFL history, 20-5. I mean, the way he took the league by storm. And we also had the injury that he was coming off of, which was a very serious injury. I was very pumped up to see his debut in 2012. Definitely. All right, 301-230-0980. We've got a line open if you want to weigh in. This is the most excited you've been for a Washington season since. Let's start with Chris in Bowie. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Shane? Good morning.
Hey, Chris.
So, really quickly, I'm born in 96. I just turned 29 this year, so I cannot count year 2000. I'm just a child.
Yeah.
Like Max said, it's really a double answer, because 2012 could count because we just saw the Heisman winner and we drafted him. So we assumed he would be what he was. 2013 is more of a better answer because we were able to finally witness him in a rookie season in the NFL.
Yeah, know what his potential was. Yes.
Right. And then what you just said before you let me on was the other thing was Gibbs. I was still a kid, but I understood what Gibbs was and the three Super Bowls because my parents, who made me a fan. And so when he came back, it was like, oh, wait a minute. This might be a great thing that I get to see like my father and my mother saw. And then 2016 with Kirk, I mean, where team wasn't there, but it was still like, wait a minute. This isn't, a 7-9 season we're getting ready to walk into, or a 6-10 season we're getting ready to walk into. But I think the answer is the 2013, let's see if RG3 can make this happen again, how folks feel about JD5.
Again, I get the 2013 as an answer, is that, most excited for a season since then. I think for me, we had started in, media, we had started to hear some of what was going on out there. And the issue that Mike and Kyle and others were having, it wasn't so much the locker room, but there was a lot of eye rolling during that offseason.
Yeah.
Like, this dude's hashtagging everything. He's producing a documentary all in for week one. And a lot of people in that building didn't think he should play in week one. And in fact,
wasn't
if Kirk
McVay
Cousins
involved
doesn't.
In that as well?
I'm sorry.
Was McVay an assistant back then?
Yeah, Sean was on that staff. Yeah.
Okay,
but if Kirk Cousins didn't roll an ankle in preseason, I think that Mike was going to start Kirk against the Eagles on Monday Night Football. Remember, that was Chip Kelly's debut as
the
Eagles coach.
Yeah, I remember that for sure.
Yeah. Yep. All right, because, you know, the other thing, too, and we didn't know this at the time, and remember, those first several weeks were like, what happened to the offense? You know, they changed the offense because he demanded that they change the offense. Now, they could say, hey, we're doing this to protect him because he's not completely healthy or we want to make sure he doesn't get hurt. But he just wasn't the same player if he wasn't running. And it was the game against hold on, I'm looking through that 2013 season. I want to say it was the game against the Bears. There was a game that he went, apparently, you know, according to people, and he just said, all right, put read option style football back in there. Yeah. I'm ready to start running again. And they scored 40-something, and he had like 100 yards rushing, and they won the game, and it was like, all right, now we got, you know, Bob back to where he was. All right, thanks.
Yeah,
appreciate it, Chris. Let's go to Rylan. Rylan, this is the most excited for a season since when?
Morning, Kev. Well, since I think I came down to the States as a freshman. I don't know. I think 2012, 2013 was about as good as it got for me, and then I didn't know any better, right? So now we got legit expectations, legit national excitement, legit ownership, legit head coach, legit quarterback, and a barn being built on RFK. What else can we ask for, Kev? So we'll get ourselves a Lombardi and have a season, eh?
Let's go have ourselves a season. By the way, I'm looking back at that 2013 season. It was the week before that he started to run again. 9 carries, 77 yards against the Cowboys in a loss. But that Chicago game that I pointed out, 11 rushes, 84 yards. He threw for 298, and they won the game 45-41. And that was the, you know, I think maybe it was the week before. I remember back then hearing he went, you know, to Mike and Kyle and said, all right, you can put some of those plays from last year back into the offense. And I guess Dan was okay with it. What a complete and utter S-show it was. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, this is the most excited for a season you've been since.
Kev, I'm going to go way back, and this isn't revisionist. It was the most excited I have been since August of 91. And here's why. If you'll recall, we had a massive road win in Philly the postseason before. Once again, our season ended to the, at that time, defending Super Bowl champion 49ers at a candlestick. But we made a lot of player additions that offseason. I mean, guys that stepped up like Eric Williams and Jumpy Gathers and rookie Bobby Wilson and Jason Buck. And we've got all these, Tim Johnson. We had all these defensive linemen we brought in. We had Danny Copeland and Brad Edwards. We just did a lot of things. And we got Matt Millen. And Matt Millen, kind of like Vaughn Miller this summer, you know, he was at that stage of his career picking the team as a free agent he thought had a shot to go the distance. And then to top it all off, and it's just a fact, Montana got hurt in the NFC title game against the Giants. He hurt his elbow. He was banged up all that summer. He ended up missing the whole 91 season. And I just felt like, the waters are parting here. You know, we've got a shot. We're not going to have to go through Montana. So I really loved what Cass Lee and Gibbs did that summer, that spring and summer, to improve the team. And the rest is history. To I'll take it to the grave. That's the greatest Redskin team I've ever seen.
That's interesting. I certainly recall being fired up for the season. You know, the additions they made on defense in particular. They also added Riggs, right? And was that the year they added Riggs? Or was it the year before?
Yeah. There were several new players. I mean, Ricky Irvin's was a rookie. I mean, there were so
Irvin's
many
was
new
a rookie.
That were a big part of that run.
But they were not the favorite, you know, going into that season. I remember famously Playboy magazine picked Washington to win the Super Bowl, and Steve Buckhantz made the mistake of mentioning that to Gibbs. But I knew they were going to be good. I had no idea they were going to be that good. Because remember, Kev, Rippin was still
a
bit of...
I knew they were going to be that good. I'm just saying I knew that they were much improved, and they were a force at the end of the prior season, going on that win streak.
Yeah.
And then, you remember,
but it was Rippon's picks in the playoff game at Candlestick, and he was he threw a lot of picks. Remember back then,
well,
and
he did.
Was still a bit of, you know, we knew he could play, but in terms of the season he had, no one saw that coming.
Oh no, I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Right, I did not see him having that season at all.
Yeah.
Okay,
all
I'm saying though is we were much improved.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. 301-230-0980. This is the most excited you've been for a Washington season since, fill in the blank, Bobby in North Carolina. Go ahead. Bobby, you there?
Four. Yeah, I'm here. You got me, Kevin?
Start over again, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Gibbs 2.004, man. You know, because we lived it back in the 80s and the early 90s, you know, his first tenure. But, Kevin, I hadn't been this excited about everything since Gibbs 1.0, that 10 or 12 year stretch that we had, and we were very good. I mean, all signs are pointing up for the entire organization. We found our quarterback, and we've got good coaching, we got good ownership. So that's what I'm most excited, because this, what we have now, is sustainable for years and years, you know, to go back on one of those runs like we were used to back in the early 80s and early 90s. So, and a lot of your probably listeners never experienced that. We did. We're at that age. And you remember, you know, every year we were the team. I mean, we had a chance every year, and that's what we're getting back to now, Kevin. But I'm excited about this year. If we can stay healthy, I think we can make another deep run for sure this year, brother.
You know, the 2004 season started, of course, with Clinton Portis ripping off, you know, a 60-yard-plus touchdown
run.
And it was like,
Kevin,
right
in
that.
There.
Yeah, I was there too.
Yeah,
and it was like right in that moment, it's like, we're back. We are back.
Here we go. Yeah.
But we weren't. It took some grinding that season.
Yeah.
But the following season, we're coming up, by the way, on the 20-year anniversary of the Monday Night Miracle game. You know, I'm going to get Santana on in advance of that. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it. If you're on hold, stay there. Stan, Ross, DC, anybody else on hold, we've got a line open if you want to weigh in. This is the most excited you've been about a Washington season since. 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, you can watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are going to make a couple of big football announcements for you. They are presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The show is brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murat. Speaking of which, we are taking two road trips this season.
Not one.
We will be going to Kansas City for Monday Night Football.
Let's
at
go.
Arrowhead Stadium. I can smell the tailgating and the barbecue already. October 27th. This is Monday Night Football under the lights. Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes, couple of powers in the NFC and AFC. Couple of teams have played in conference championship games last year. The Commanders and the Chiefs will be on site as they're doing their stupid tomahawk chop with their arrowhead on their helmet, and they're playing the Washington Commanders.
I'll be full of barbecue, so I'll be annoyed about that, and I'll never understand how that's okay somehow, and anything else isn't okay, but whatever. But I'll have a lot of ribs in my tummy.
That's week 8.
Yeah.
Which means we're about 8 weeks away from that as we speak right now. But I guess 7 technical legit weeks away from that trip on Monday Night Football. And the good folks at Condori and Murat are making it happen. They're flying us out there. They're putting us up. They're doing all the nice things that they normally do to make this a very special trip. So we appreciate that. But we're expanding this year.
Here we go.
All right, so we're up to 2 legit trips with Condori and Murat hitting the road this year. Trip number 2. Widely considered the best stadium in the NFL at this point, We are headed to Minneapolis to see the Commanders take on the Vikings.
Minnesota.
December 7th, 2025. Danny Hutier will be at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Let's go.
To watch the Commanders and the Vikings December 7th. It's a Sunday. It's one of the rare 1 o'clock games. But this is a Week 14 game. So this is post-bye. This is barreling down the stretch. The last
game. This will be a huge game, by the way.
Before Washington plays the final four games against teams in the division, Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, their last non-division game against Minnesota could be very much a playoff preview. Vikings, if J.J. McCarthy doesn't stink, should be a playoff team in the NFC North. That stadium, Danny, I know it's going to be frigid in Minneapolis in early December.
Yeah.
So pack a couple of coats.
December in Minnesota, that famed tourist destination.
Hashtag there will be Juicy Lucy's. We're going to be eating some burgers with cheese right there in the middle of the patty.
It's right in the patty.
You bite into the patty and it burns your lip kind of leaking out.
Yep.
So there are going to be some Juicy Lucy's. Mm-hmm. There's also going to be football. That's the stadium that everybody in the league says is the one seed and the envy of the sport.
Will we go to the Mall of America?
I am willing to do that with you. Now, Danny's going to call it a tourist trap, and he won't be excited, and he'll be out. I would love to go to the Mall of America. I went with Michael Phillips many, many years ago when the Redskins then
Miguel.
Played the Vikings, and we played a round of mini golf at the Mall of America. You can play mini golf. You can ride roller coasters. There's a lot of things you can do at the Mall of America. I think we should do all of those.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Danny, you're welcome to come.
If they have Juicy Lucy's, I'll be interested. Otherwise, I'm not interested.
Danny's going to do the thing where he sits in the hotel room for a couple of days and just waits for us to figure out where to go.
So see if there's a gym in the hotel.
I'll bet you our guy Wasim and Kia and the crew.
Oh, he'll have an agenda.
He's going to put some things together for sure. But again, they sponsor our show. They take care of you guys. If you need estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate admin, their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. So schedule a consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. They're taking very good care of us. We're fired up.
Well, think of that schedule. A post-bye week for Washington. Denver Broncos, on paper, everybody's talking about them as a legit contender. They're kind of the AFC West version of Washington. At Minnesota, huge playoff implications. Then Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles to finish the season. That is a sprint that will have major playoff ramifications. That Eagles game, that one too, but the Vikings game in terms of the NFC jockeying for position.
Yeah, it's possible if the division is wrapped one way or the other that the Eagles games lose a little luster, I guess. Like if one's going to win the division and one's going to be a wild card, but it's just as likely that those games are massive. You know, maybe you're playing a division championship game to end the season against the Eagles or something like that. But I hope that's the case because that December critical big football, like I just get chills thinking about going to the stadium, rolling up with 70,000 people fired up to be watching the Commanders in a got-to-have-it game. Shades of 2012 against the Cowboys. All right, our next announcement. We have two guests with us, regulars, all season long, every single week. On Grant and Danny, those two regulars. Consistency is the key. Mm-hmm. Last year and this year. On Mondays after games, back by popular demand, you guys love you some Jay Gruden on the show. He will be back breaking down all things Washington football, all things NFL. We will talk to him at 5 p.m. every single Monday after Commanders games. And on Tuesday, Austin Eckler is indeed back with us for a second season. Eckler's segments got rave reviews last year. People seem to really, really enjoy and learn a lot from Eckler. He likes doing it. He's going to be in a broadcast role when his career ends. I mean, this is a guy that's going to put on a suit and be on Football Night in America.
Whatever that guy wants to do, he'll do.
Yeah, wherever he wants to go. In the meantime, he's slumming it with us. So 5 p.m. on Tuesdays all season long. Austin Eckler is back on Grant and Danny.
Both are fantastic in different ways. Jay is just a guy you want to have a beer with and chop it up and talk football, and he sees the game in a coach's view and always has such great insights. And Austin Eckler, I've been blown away just how wildly impressive he is in terms of, again, how he thinks. He reminds me of Max Scherzer, different competitor, different athlete, but the way that he thinks about the game is different than a lot of people. The way he thinks about matchups and dynamics and prep and all those sorts of really smart things, and he's so worldly and thoughtful. Both great guests. Pumped to have them both back on the show.
So we'll have Mondays, our normal Game Balls and Gasser breakdowns. We'll do Our fastest 16 minutes on Tuesdays with Commander Survivor. We'll have Eckler as well. And then we're going to move our confidence points picks segment to Thursdays this year. We're still going to be doing our field trip Fridays. And in fact, tomorrow at this time, we're going to be announcing our field trip Friday schedule. So we've got it all laid out, every single week lined up already. We know what bars we'll be at, where we're going to be. We'll have a little competition between Virginia and Maryland and D.C. to see who can have the biggest attendance during the season. But that's coming up tomorrow with our next big announcement. But needless to say, our Ducks are in a row over here. We are ready for football season.
Yeah, your pals aren't doing this like one toe in, one toe out. We are diving in to the deep end in terms of the foosball. We're ready to rock.
All right, Dad, give us a couple of burning Commanders questions here to wind down the show. A little bit tight, not as much time as we wanted, but I know you put together some burning questions on the Commanders, so let's do it.
Will Jaden Daniels lead the team in rushing for a second straight year?
Yes. I think there's no bell cow. I think there's no one player. I think it's going to be hot hand. I think it'll end up being, you know, around 125, 130 carries. He'll be around 700 yards. I think that's just more than JCM and just more than Chris Rodriguez.
So if he's only at 700 yards, I'd be a little bit surprised, honestly, right? If you look back to last year and kind of as the year went on, how things trended, he ran for almost 900 yards. And for a month, he basically punted on running the football because he had a broken rib. I would say he's going to be at 850 to 1,000 yards, if I had to guess. He also didn't rip off any of the big ones I kept waiting for. Like, it takes one of those for 75, and it changes your season
outlook. Your whole
season,
yeah.
But I'm going to say, you know, I would actually go over 850, but in that range, 850 to 950, something like that, right where he was last year. He will be their leader because Grosky, Merritt, and Rodriguez are going to go back and forth as, you know, timeshare backs on first and second down.
Will Matt Gay be the kicker for the entirety of the 2025 season?
He will be. I think the discussions of Matt Gay's demise have been greatly exaggerated. I saw him really good at training camp for several days. I know there have been some misses in the preseason, but this is a guy we've seen semi-recently in this league kick the heck out of the football. Go back to 2022. He was 28 of 30 in field goals in this league for a Rams team that was, you know, Super Bowl caliber, coming off of a title. He's been a Pro Bowler in this league. I have confidence in Matt Gay. I think he kicks in every game, assuming health this season.
I'm going to say no, just because stuff happens. It, you know, whether it's that pulled muscle, whether it's a bit of a slump or a funk.
But you get the point of the question.
Of course I do.
The question is, does he get cut and they go to a different kicker or not?
Yeah, and I'm going to say yes, just because that's what happens.
Here especially.
Yeah.
Today's depth chart showed us that Trey Amos is listed as one of the starting corners, and Jalen Lane is listed as the starting punt returner, as well as one of the backup receivers. Which rookie do you think has the biggest impact, Lane or Amos?
Amos. I think that dude is it. I think they found a gem. I think they found a burgeoning star, a stud, a guy that, you know, if I'm looking at this team after a couple of weeks, if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'll stop throwing his way and I'll start throwing at Marshawn Lattimore. I think that's what's going down.
Yeah, Amos is the answer. He's going to start right away. Does Lane get on the field early in the season? I mean, he's going to have to break something on a punt to even probably be noticed over the first couple of weeks. I think there's a chance he gets some De'Ami Brown looks where he's running some love of the game routes to clear things out underneath with his speed, and maybe Jaden takes a deep shot. And if he did that and he struck up the band for a 70-yard touchdown or something, all right, that's a different story.
You notice the guy, yeah.
But I think by and large, the targets and the opportunities will be minimal for him early. It's going to have to come as the year goes on, whereas Amos is going to be out there right away getting tested. Opening, he's going to line up against neighbors occasionally against the Giants, and you know, we're going to find out right away just how good the kid is.
All right, so Chris Sims was on with Kay Adams, and Kay asked him what team is on upset alert in week one. Here's what Chris Sims, former NFL quarterback who does the Pro Football Talk show with Mike Florio, here's what Chris Sims said.
I think if I had to choose one right there, the one I would choose was the New York Giants. Not that I'm expecting huge things from the Giants, but I do think the Giants are going to be more of a pain in the butt than people realize. Their defense, and they're desperate, and they've played well. And you know, we know that you know their butts are on the hot seat there in New York, right? This is a big game for them. And I do. I look at that, and their offense is a little better than you think. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Giants to upset Washington, or at least cover the spread there.
That's a big difference.
He backed off at the end.
That's a big difference.
Come on.
But okay.
Am I supposed to take that seriously? No, am I supposed to take him seriously with that?
I like that he did that, though. Hopefully it keeps the boys awake. You know, we can't go in there and just take advantage. I like it.
Hey, the Giants
more people pick the Giants.
Hey, the Giants are becoming a sexy, like, week
becoming
one.
A chic pick.
Yeah.
People are starting to sell me on the Giants defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew it was pretty good last year.
Paul DiTino ringing around in your head. But
Sims just said it.
You have a rookie.
Stuff I've been reading. Yeah. And dude, I watched Abdul Carter a lot in college. Yeah. He's a freaking maniac.
Think about it. You have Burns, Carter, and Thibodeau, and you have a rookie right tackle.
Yeah.
His head's going to be spinning when they run all the different stunts and guys coming at you different ways. They're going to have their hands full.
I feel like if you asked this question a month ago, I mean,
we were a lot more confident.
Yeah, people would be a lot more confident.
I was.
I
definitely was.
Even if Terry wasn't resigned yet.
I'm still pretty confident they're going to beat the Giants. I'm not really wavering off my stance that the Commanders are going to beat the Giants.
You're very resolute.
Pretty resolute on them.
I'm hopeful.
You got a sold-out home crowd. You've got all your guys back outside of Cosme.
I honestly don't know the answer to this. Is that the first real sellout in quite a while, or no? Have we had a few?
I know a couple years ago they didn't have one.
There were at least a few sellouts last season.
There were, okay.
Yeah. No, I know that, but I'm saying a home opener.
Oh, home openers, no. I mean,
I feel like, did they open up against the Dolphins maybe 3 years ago at home, and it was an embarrassing
sounds
turnout?
Sounds right. I know they opened against the Cardinals a couple of years ago at home, and that was, the Cardinals game was sold out?
Was it?
Hmm. We need.
Well, think about it. Last year, the Giants were horrible.
Yeah.
And Washington beat them by a combined 8 points.
Yeah. Yeah. The Giants didn't win a division game all year last year. That's how bad they were.
They won. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But, so I'm not saying the Giants are going to win.
I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
It's not going
to
be easy.
I think the
Commanders probably win by 3 to 7 points.
Okay. That's fair.
I just think their defense
is going to cause problems.
I think it potentially could, but I think Jaden Daniels is going to put pressure on that defense
throughout the game.
He's so magical.
Thank God. You can hype up their defense all you want. Thibodeau, I think, is a little bit of an underachiever, though. Like Daniel Jones on the defensive side, he tends to have his best games against Washington in his short career. I mean, I know Abdul Carter is good. There's a lot of hype surrounding him, but I need to see it on the pro level before I'm just going to anoint him as a guy who's going to have 15 sacks. And it's just an absolute game wrecker. Now, if he comes out and has 2 or 3 sacks against Jaden Daniels and he forces him into a fumble and strip sacks him and is all over the place, then I'll reconsider the Giants' defense as far as how impactful they'll be throughout the season. I just don't think their defense carries them to 7, 8, or 9 wins.
Man,
I just don't see that
happening.
I could see
7, but 9, that's...
Well, the offense has to be a lot better. Whoever did that Pro Football Talk power ranking, I don't know if that was Chris Sims.
No, that was Florio.
That was Florio?
Yeah.
Because Florio has the Giants at 30th in the power rank.
Wow.
You want to talk about disparate sort of ideas on that team.
Florio also has the Commanders in the Super Bowl.
He has us 9 overall in the power rankings, I think.
I know, but in his season-long predictions, he has the Commanders in the Super Bowl.
No, actually, he has a 7. Yeah.
Look at Florio getting pro Commanders.
I think he's the only one. When I was doing the podcast with Toothpick last night, the first string podcast, Lake Lewis, who covers the team, he believes the Commanders are going to be in the Super Bowl.
If we lose to the Giants, we're going to go from 7 in the power rankings to like 15.
How are the Commanders all of a sudden better than the Eagles?
Eagles are 1 in the PFT's Pro Football Talk's power rankings. I don't know. Maybe he's getting knocked off.
You know, teams don't often repeat.
Yeah, but I mean, come on paper.
Hasn't it also been 21 years now that there's not been a repeat winner in the NFC East? Yeah. That's a weird streak.
That's very weird.
It's either 20 or 21. It's one of those two numbers. But that's a wild streak.
You want to talk about disparate, just switching gears to play off of that word. Baltimore and Washington, very close in terms of cities, in terms of distance.
Uh-huh.
The price of beer at their stadiums couldn't be more different.
Huh.
The cheapest beer you're going to find average-wise in the NFL is in Baltimore.
Right.
$6.60.
Wow.
Washington is 32nd. They have the highest average beer cost.
How much?
At the stadium.
We're such snobs.
13?
$16.49.
Are you kidding?
That's the average.
Can you sneak in mini?
Are they bigger? Are they bigger beers?
They have some big beers, yes.
They're but, probably I mean, this 20 is, or 22 ounces, I would guess.
$16.49 is your average. You know, Washington was kind of touting the chefs that they've brought in and their cuisine. Mm-hmm. And they've upgraded those things. But the cost of beer, that is uber expensive.
I applaud what the Ravens have done. I think it's like a dozen menu items.
11 that, items under $5.
Yeah, they've really.
Flock-friendly fare.
Flock-friendly.
They're big on alliteration like I am.
They are big on that. But I give them credit. Look, they know they're making a boatload of money already. They're trying not to fleece everybody that's in the stadium with $8 bottles of water, $19 beers.
Here's what your flock-friendly fare items are.
Yeah.
You can get a barbecue chicken sandwich, $4.99.
It's pretty good. Where?
Ravens games.
Baltimore.
You get nachos?
Yes. How much?
And remember we went through, now they were like some premium nachos for the Commanders.
Like $22
I think it was
nachos.
28.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Regular nachos, it looks like $4.49.
Oh, is it Ravens game?
Yeah. Hot dog.
Is it a bunch of brokies?
All I need in my nachos, I need tortilla chips, fake-ish cheese, and a few jalapeno slices. Yep. I don't need all that other nonsense.
You want 7-Eleven nachos, basically.
Exactly.
No, I need it. I need some meat.
Hot dog, I bet $3.49.
I'm going to isolate that. I'm not going to isolate that.
I knew that was going.
Pretzel, $1.99.
Hold on, are you gonna, time, Jason.
I mean,
you can isolate that.
They're selling pretzels for $1.99.
Yes.
That's amazing. I don't think you can even go into like Wawa and buy a pretzel for $1.99. You know what? I applaud the Ravens for what they're doing.
Oh, popcorn, $1.99.
That's brilliant.
Some of those pretzels you could break your teeth on. EB, stay away from the pretzels.
Will it be the highest quality pretzel? Probably not. But again, the price works.
They've got fries and peanuts for $3.49. A 24-ounce soda.
Love it.
$3.99. Oh. 20-ounce water, $3.49, and your 12-ounce beer?
12-ounce beer, I think it's, I saw it's $4.99 or?
$4.99.
That's what he said,
$4.99. That's great. That's fantastic. More teams should follow that lead.
Right.
I mean, $16.49
you just bought a team, and you got to pay for a stadium. Well,
there's a reason that, I mean, how long ago did Josh Harris and his group buy the team? A year and a half, two years ago? They bought it for $6.05 billion. The latest Forbes valuation in 2 years is now worth $7.5 billion. So on paper, they've already made $1.5 billion on their investment. I guess part of it is $19 beers.
I think the difference is the Ravens Stadium, M&T Bank, and also Camden Yards are funded by taxpayer dollars.
Okay.
So they can afford, the owners can afford to lower the prices like that.
Okay, that makes sense.
As opposed to if Josh is doing the bulk of this funding, then all of a sudden he has to recoup that some way.
Yeah, I'm not getting subsidized by the state. This is Josh Harris checking in. You guys are
killing
me for
$18
beers.
The average of the other, like in L.A. Or Chicago,
of the beer, you
New
can
York.
See the beer.
Yeah, what's Jets? Are some of these other ones just pretty similar to Washington's?
Jets and Giants. $13 is their average beer.
They should make those beers $2 for having to watch the pathetic Jets and Giants play in that stadium.
LA is $14.
Okay.
So those are your big cities. The Raiders, Vegas, $14.99.
Yeah.
Your cheapest would be the Bengals at $6.80. I mentioned the Ravens, $6.60. The Browns, $7.15. So apparently it's that division.
Yeah,
and then the Lions at $7.20 and the Vikings $8.05.
Yeah, they're not making the dog pound pay $15 for a beer. Good for them in Cleveland.
Well, like I've said a million times, tailgate, pregame.
Yep.
Get your cocktails in early and buy one beer or one drink.
And
in the
worst
city.
Case, stuff a mini or two down into your pants.
I mean,
you just have to walk a little different when you come to the stadium.
Hey, Jason, how many can you put there? Hey, Jason's putting a pint, not a minute.
Be careful. I got to try.
I got to try.
That might be a little bit spicy.
Fireballs.
Might cause some issues.
Let me get this fifth out, guys.
Yeah. I still remember him whipping out his knees.
One of those guys in the hospital, they try to get they have 17 minis inside there.
I still remember him whipping out his minis at Hooters, costing us money for months.
You'll never forget that.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, Sponsor got Rick.
We're white trash. What are you going to do? You can't get away from our core. This is what we are.
That's what PG County boys do.
Yep, pretty much.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, you can always hit us up on our text line at 1-800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Giants are coming to town. NFC East divisional game. Vegas has the Commanders installed as fairly heavy favorites. 6 points in a division game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you nervous? Toothpick is on the line. What's up, Pick?
Hey, what's good, JT? What's up, B-Mix?
What's up, brother?
If this was another regime, I'd be very nervous. But Dan Quinn and his coaches, his group of professional coaches, Adam Peters with his group of professional front office guys, I'm not concerned at all. It's the play on the field, because that's the one thing that they can't control, those players prep and things like that. I'm not concerned, but we always get nervous on game day, right? Right, B? You always get a little nervous, but the preparation is always there.
Yeah. Don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Thank you, Pick. We do have some exciting news from the aquarium. Jeff and White Brian. So for those that don't know, White Brian is a Giants fan. Grew up somewhere, not here.
I'm sure they heard it somewhere.
He's from Philly. He's from Jersey. He's from New York. He's a lot of things.
Yeah.
What's the bet in there, fellas? There's a big bet going down in the aquarium.
Yes. So since he is a pitiful Giants fan, loser has to eat whatever the difference is in the score of
loser hot dogs. Have to eat glizzies.
Yep, in the opposite team's jersey. So when
are you a glizzy gobbler?
When the Commanders win by 21, we will have White Brian in a
21 hot dogs.
21 hot dogs that say DJ Jeff on it.
You're gonna write DJ Jeff on the hot dog?
No, I'm gonna write DJ Jeff on a jersey.
You have it. The DJ Jeff jersey you have.
Yes, he's gonna wear that.
All right, so Commanders win by a touchdown. White Brian, you're going to put down 7 hot dogs?
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. Can't wait for Jeff to be eating some hot dogs in a Plaxico Burris jersey.
Plaxico?
Pray I don't shoot myself.
Is there a cap on dogs? Like if it's a 10-point game one way or another?
No. We are grown men. There is no cap on anything.
No cap.
No cap,
homie.
Hopefully neither team gets beat by 30.
Dude,
how long you have to eat these dogs?
Yeah, it would take me
the whole show.
Yes,
you would never be able to eat 30
on
hot dogs.
Stream.
I don't want to eat 30 hot dogs for the record. I think like 3 might be my max.
Yeah, and if it's too much bread, no bun.
You go Kobayashi style.
You gotta finish them.
You gotta eat the bread too. No.
All right. So next Monday, it sounds like we're gonna have a hot dog party.
Eat off.
A what?
A hot dog eat off.
All right. Next Monday, somebody's eating dogs. Let's get a bunch of dogs. I'll have one or two, and then we'll watch you idiots eat the point differential. I look forward to that.
That is crazy as hell.
Landfill, would you like a hot dog?
Who came up with this idea?
Who did come up with this idea?
I mean, obviously, I'd like a hot dog.
It was me.
Sounds like you.
I don't like betting people money. You know, they work hard for their money, but I'm all for public humiliation.
What the hell are you going to buy the hot dogs with? Money, right?
Bro, it's fine. Yo, I will spend money on hot dogs to see Brian eat them in a Commanders jersey.
All righty.
All right, so next Monday, we're going to need an air fryer or a Foreman grill or something.
Oh, we're going to figure that out.
Who's in charge of that?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
All right, I can get buns. I'll be in charge of buns. Try to get some buns, Jeff.
Got buns, hon.
Do side benzo sit-ups. Gary is in Southern Maryland. What's up, Gary?
Yeah, it's Darren. How you doing?
What's up, Darren?
Well, Jeff wrote Gary.
And a whole lot. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good. Hey, ain't nobody nervous about nothing, man. I can assure you of that. We're going to dog them. White Brian's eating 21 glizzies, the old glizzy gobbler. And we got 53 dogs on the team, baby. There ain't nobody nervous out here in Washington. I can assure you of that.
Y'all have
a good day.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Gary. A little bit of news out of Ashburn. This is via Matt Maiocco, a guy I've known a long time, does a great job covering the Niners. Maiocco said the Niners offered Kendrick Bourne a contract. They did not reach an agreement, and now Kendrick Bourne is visiting the Commanders today. Kendrick Bourne, veteran wide receiver. last year wasn't his best, but he was at his best, or he broke through with the Niners as an undrafted player when Adam Peters was out there.
All right.
So that'll be interesting. That'll give them a sixth wideout and a veteran NFL-level player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because McCaffrey hasn't shown it. Lane hasn't done it yet.
Well, the thing I love about them, when they bring somebody in like this, they bring somebody with experience.
Yeah.
They're not bringing you in to learn.
Bourne's going into his ninth season. Last year had about 30 catches for the Patriots. Going to be interesting if they sign him. Remember, people are like, Olamide Zaccheaus, who's that? And then he proceeded to have a really good year for them.
Exactly.
If you're a veteran wide receiver, coming here is pretty good for your bottom line when the free agency rolls around.
Especially, you got a nice QB.
Let's go to our guy Jupe is on the line. Jupe, you nervous for Sunday?
JT, why are you asking me that question? You should already know. It's time to go, baby. Let's get it on. I don't know what's wrong with this fan base. You can't come off last year being nervous about going against the Giants. You can have a healthy respect for the Giants, but being nervous, nah. That's disrespect to players like Timothy Daniels, Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuels. Let's keep going on the defensive side. Luvu, Wagner. Like, these, we got a lot of problems. And I'm going to say this for last year, that first game, we went in there with a game two being played by Timothy Daniels. We all seen it. Timothy Daniels' passing game wasn't on point like that. He was running a lot. Why? Because he was getting adjusted to NFL game speed. It happened in game one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that second half of the Giants game, he started picking it up. And then game three against the Cincinnati Bengals, we all know what happened. So I feel like we need to have an intervention for these guys. You worry about injuries, stop worrying about the uncontrollables. Injuries can happen to any player, any team, at any time.
Totally.
When it happens is when it happens. That's when you worry about it. But we got, as everybody keeps saying, let AP cook. Let him cook. He's going to pick up players that we can plug and play, or we bring up our backups to try to make it happen. We march forward from there. Like, come on, guys. Like, but I got to pause you guys on the whole glizzy gob. Hey, D-Mitch, you wrong for that.
Hey,
pause,
they eat the goblins, not me. They eat the glizzy, not me.
You're going to have a glizzy
I heard it. I was like, nah, I got to check you on that one. But listen, but at the end of the day, us as a fan base really got to just sit back and realize we're going to be okay. Just how you feel, any game we could lose, I feel any game we could win. There's nobody in the league that worries me.
Jeff,
White
Brian,
call, dude.
And Fat Joe. Lizzy Goblin.
I will say the second half, whatever happened at halftime for Jaden was his I can do this moment. It was the second half against the Giants is the first time we really started to see the Jaden we would get to know over the course of the year. In the first half of that game, he was 11 of 13, but only 87 yards. In the second half, I think he threw for about .170, and that offense just really started to open up. Jupe, I hope you're all right, man. I didn't realize you were still there. Mark is in Landover Hills. What's up, Mark?
What's happening, JP? What's happening, B. Mitch?
What's up, brother?
Everything is good, brother, and as far as being nervous, it is what it is. We have established a new credential in the NFL, and I expect the gentlemen to take care of business, but they cannot take the team lightly, as I've called in and said before. They have a very good chance of making White Brian choke down a few dogs.
I like it. I like it.
And being nervous about things, I think the people who are asking if we're nervous might be more nervous than us because, man, it's football. And the brutality is going to be there no matter what. And I think that my Washington Redskins / Commanders will be ready. There will be opening nerves by them and getting ready for full contact football. That is only natural. Brian will tell you that. But nervous about the game, man, I'm psyched about the game because we are going to stomp them into the ground and come and get ready for the Green Bay Packers, and we're going to stomp them too. Have a nice day, guys.
Hi, brother, man.
Thanks, dude. Take care. Great call. Yo, White Brian, are you nervous, especially with the hot dog bet on the line here?
No, I think the Giants have something to prove, and if they lose, it'll be close. I think they cover.
What is your honest hot dog expectation for next week?
5.
Damn, you're going to eat 5 hot dogs?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Los is in Severna Park. Los, how many hot dogs White Brian going to eat next week?
He ain't going to eat as much as a VMI fan did against Navy, because let me tell you, Navy whooped that ass.
They did.
yeah, they did, man. Listen, I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. The only thing that worries me is the fans having PTSD and walking out of that parking lot and being angry. But other than that, we should be fine. It's just I do have PTSD. Russell Wilson is he's the starter, right, for the Giants?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the only thing. When you have a veteran quarterback and a veteran quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, he may be old, but it doesn't matter. That's the only thing that just worries me. But other than that, get your jerseys ready, get your wings ready, go Navy, beat Army. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, brother.
If you're a big Commanders fan, you should be excited, maybe a bit anxious just to get the season started.
That's what
see
I'm,
what it
I'm,
looks
I'm
like.
Anxious.
But I don't think you should be nervous at all. Not to
be nervous for what though? You're going to watch and be entertained. Why should you be nervous about that?
Well, like, yes, it's an NFC East game. Yes, the Giants kind of took them to the wire, especially at home last year. Every year in the NFL is a very, very different entity. And Washington can come into this thing with a level of confidence that the Giants are just all over the place, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Pat Leonard on. If you missed any of that interview, go check it out wherever you get podcasts or the Odyssey app or whatever. Like, he said repeatedly that the offense didn't look that good.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of these, you know, in practice,
but like,
you don't have to punt if you
everyone
go 3-1.
Is already talking about how great their defense is going to be. How the hell we know that? We don't know that.
Our friend Lauren Ricketts just tweeted me, B. She said, I want you to ask how many Giants fans are nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's
they
what
should,
we should be asking.
If you're a Giant fan and you're nervous, call in.
Yeah.
Gary's in District Heights. What's up, Gary?
Hey there. How's everything, JP, Bryant?
Doing well,
good,
man.
Doing, Gary?
I'm not worried at all about the Giants. Reason being, they're talking about their defensive line. They have Abdul Carter. He hasn't proven anything in the NFL. Remember last year when we played Cleveland, they talked about Miles Garrett. Okay, oh, he's going to be a disruptor, this and that. If you check the stats, he did not have one tackle the entire game, nor did he touch Jaden Daniels one time during that game. Now, he might have shook his hand after the game. That's the only time he touched him. But other than that, I have no worries whatsoever about the Giants. We're going to crush them.
I like it, Gary. Thank you, buddy.
Gotcha.
Appreciate it. Our guy Tay Wilson tweeted me, said, one game away from the Super Bowl, and now people are nervous about the Giants. Now begins the reign of JD5. Commandante Tequila's on the line. Commandante, are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm real nervous for White Brian chance. He might choke, you know, with a couple hot dogs.
You better floss that day, Brian. Appreciate you, Commander.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to Ed in Potomac. Ed, are you nervous?
Nah, the only thing I'm nervous about is if I'm going to be able to watch this damn game on this cruise I'm about to be hitting on September 5th for my dad's birthday. Because we're going to be watching on somebody's TV. I don't care if I got to sit on the top of the boat. But look, I'm not nervous It's what comes with a team when you are finally good, right? Everybody headhunts you. You just made the NFC title game, okay? You are no longer on a graphic that I'm not mistaken. The only team on the graphic to not make a title game right now is the Dallas Cowboys. Ha, ha, ha. So we have nothing to be nervous about. We have J.D. Five, the man that won several one-score games or so last year, and I'm not asking him to do it again. But if Giants fans think they're going to come up there and touch my quarterback, please, you better watch out. We're going to have the fans on you, because that's what our offensive line is going to be called after that game. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate you, man. I think, by and large, Commanders fans seem pretty good. Not too nervous. Steve is in Portsmouth.
Steve,
how you feeling going into Giants week?
I'm feeling good, fellas. I think right now, with JD5 and showing us what we saw that first drive at Baltimore, I think Kingsbury has the scheme. And all we got to do is stop any run threat. And halfway, stop that pass. So I think they're going to come out with a scheme. I think we're going to do well. And it's the Commanders / the Redskins. And throughout the years, I've always been nervous about them. But that was why I love them, because they keep you coming back.
All right.
Thanks,
bro.
Bud. Appreciate the call. I got a question for you, B.
Yep.
How many Giants fans you think will be in attendance?
Yeah, a good bit. Giants fan, 80-20,
70-30, something like that.
80-20.
The myth with Giants fans especially is people are like, oh, you know, they just travel down from New York. They live here.
Yeah, they don't travel.
There's a zillion people that moved from New York and Jersey and just live here now, mm-hmm. and they're still Giants fans. Vince Bartuzzi,
they just
Giants
like fan. White Bryan.
Right.
They just live here.
Well, White Bryan followed his wife here, right? Isn't that how you landed here?
Yep.
I know a zillion kids that I grew up with that are just Giant fans.
Mm-hmm.
My Bartosi grew up here in Chevy Chase. Giants fan his whole life. Like, they exist. Papa, you know my boy Papa? He's
Papa's
a New Yorker.
Giants fan.
He's from New York, but he's raising his kids as Giants fans. He told his wife, they can have the Caps. They can be Wizards fans. They're going to be Giants fans. Giants fans are here, and they will be there on Sunday, but
yeah, they will be.
They'll be pretty quiet if there's not much to cheer about. 100. They're not coming in. Like, when the Eagles fans come to town, and granted, that's not till week 16.
Yeah.
They're going to be loud in your face. I have a feeling by the time the Cowboys fans come to town on Christmas,
they might be a little quiet.
They might be kind of quiet. Giants fans will be ready. If you give them any sign of life early in this thing, they'll be ready to rock. But I think it could be a quiet afternoon. That offense does not scare me much. They got a good defensive front.
Yeah.
But Washington's got Jaden and they've got Cliff. And they're good at mixing it up.
Yep.
I want your best 2025 season Washington bold prediction. I want you to say and start with, don't be surprised if, and then you tell me what that bold prediction is. Example, don't be surprised if, and this is mine, Jaden Daniels throws 40-plus touchdown passes this year. His over-under is 24.5 on touchdown passes. He threw 25 last year. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Coming up before the end of this hour, I'm going to give you my best over-under bets, NFL bets of the year. I've already actually fired in on three of them. All right, Max has Washington ending up as a top three secondary. Let's start with Ian. Ian, don't be surprised if... Go ahead.
Kevin, I'm going to go the other way. I think the defense is really going to struggle. I think they're aging at key positions. And I just think if the logic that Adam Peters has, which is Mr. Analytical, that guys fall off when they hit their 30s, I don't know how he feels confident with Wagner and Miller, two first ballot Hall of Famers, really late in their career. I'm not as negative on the team as Nikki and Ben probably are, but I'm going to go 9-8.
Okay, but don't be surprised if what? Give me a bold prediction. I'm looking for it here.
The defense is in the bottom five defenses of the league.
Okay. I mean, it was in the bottom five, you know, in rush defense last year, but there is an expectation, I will grant you that it's going to be improved, the defense overall. So you have the defense regressing, and regressing maybe somewhat significantly based on perception. That's your bold prediction.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I would point out that, you know, the age thing that the team, or the analytics age thing for the team, the analytics are different based on the position. And what we were talking about all summer was the way, or at least in the last month and a half, was how they viewed the wide receiver position age-wise from an analytics standpoint. I don't know that it's applicable to the positions that you're talking about. I'm not saying that it isn't. I do think that we've seen some decent aging pass rushers over the years, especially when they're put in position to just be a specialized pass rusher, which I think is what Von Miller is expected to be.
And if I could add, I think it's a big assumption that Lattimore struggled last year just due to injury. I think there's some mental and maturity issues the way he performed when he was on the field. It wasn't just that he was
I don't
hurt.
Disagree with that. It could have been frustration over not being 100% and not being able to do what he typically had done in the league. But I thought that certainly there were some moments where he probably regrets the way he played, or the regrets to the way he reacted to something. See the NFC Championship game. Let's go to Bobby in Annapolis. Bobby, don't be surprised if, I want your bold prediction for Washington this year.
Don't be surprised if we are a wild card team.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's not bold. We were a wild card team last year.
And a way wild card team. I think just the fact that we barely had to travel last year and the quality of quarterbacks that we played, I think we have to travel a lot more. We're playing some better quarterbacks this year, and that, just barely having to travel at all and now having all these primetime games, a game in Spain, I think it might be a disadvantage for us.
I know, but don't be surprised if they're a wild card team. I think almost everybody's predicting them to be a wild card team. So all I'm saying is I think that's actually the opposite of bold. I think that that's the odds on favorite going into the season, that they'll be a wild card team.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some people saying we're going to take the division. Right. So, that was the only reason I say that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some optimism out there. There's also a lot of, national pundits that, believe Washington's season last year was more based on lucky rolls over and over again. Let's go to our guy Mark in Largo. Don't be surprised if, I want your bold prediction for the season.
Do we have Commanders fans on here, or are these substitute Cowboy fans up here?
Well, you knew Ian would go negative.
Oh my God, Ian, man, he doesn't think this team could do anything for the last 20 years.
Well, he was right for 19 of them.
Well, pretty much, yeah. I called you 6 months ago and I told you this team would go 14-3, and here's the reason why. I think they'll go 14-3 because
that's your don't be surprised if they go 14-3. I think that's aggressive. I think that's bold.
No, but I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why.
I'm gonna let you say. Tell me why.
Okay.
I'm just highlighting what your don't be surprised if is. You sort of glossed over it. Yeah.
If we go 14-3, it's because of Bill Merritt rushing for 1,200 yards and Chris Rodriguez just barely making over 1,000. I think
you buried the lead. You buried the lead. What are you doing? You've got two backs rushing for 1,000 plus yards. You've got 2,200 plus yards from running backs.
You know what, Kevin? Let me ask you something. Don't you think? Aren't you surprised this doesn't go on more in a 17-game series?
Think
about it.
Obviously, Saquon Barkley rushed for nearly 2,200 himself.
That's Saquon, but, and we had Derrick Henry. I agree with that. But
the running back, Yeah, go
the
ahead.
Number one problem with, go ahead. The number one problem with this team last year, they didn't have a consistent running game. That's why they had
the number one problem was their defense.
Well, that too. But let me say this, Chris. There were a lot of games that they should have blown
people out. Kevin, Chris, doesn't matter. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
That's all right. Call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep calling me.
All right, Kevin. Here's what I'm trying to say. There's some games that they should have won that shouldn't have been one-score games. A la the New Orleans game last year, that game should have been a two-touchdown win. I think the Atlanta game should have been a two-touchdown win. But because of the
incompetence. We were down 10 at halftime. We couldn't get off the field against Atlanta in the first half.
We couldn't get off. Well, the defense was bad, but we didn't have a consistent running game against Atlanta or New Orleans. If we have a consistent running game this year, I think this team wins, like I said, 14-3 is a season, I think. Right. With the talent that they got receiving. Now, I do think you saying Jaden's going to throw 40 touchdown passes. I do think that's possible.
I said that's my bold prediction. Yeah.
I agree with that. I still think they can get 40 touchdown passes and two backs and rush for over 1,000 yards.
Sure. Yeah, but.
And 14-3.
You know what? When's the last time a team had two running backs rush for more than 1,000 yards? 1,000 yards, as you know, Mark, I'm not explaining this.
97.
I mean rushing yards skyrocketed last year.
With the Eagles. Remember Ricky Waters in 95? In fact, it was exactly 30 years ago. I think it was Ricky Waters. I forgot who the other running back was.
Roger.
It might have been Deuce Staley or Sikahema or something like that. But it was two running backs that ran over 4,000 yards. I think you could go back to the 49er games with Rathman and Craig. So, I mean, it's do I think it's possible? Sure it is. Pretty much possible. Look, I just don't like this doom and gloom I'm seeing by Iron. This defense is going to be a bottom defense.
All right, here's the list. You ready for it? Okay, well, I don't care commenting on Ian's takes. Here's the list of teams in NFL history that had two running backs rush for 1,000 or more yards. You didn't. The 49ers are not here. First of all, very famously, the 72 Dolphins had both Zonka and Mercury Morris.
Zonka and Mercury Morris, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then the 76 Steelers had Franco and Rocky Blyer. The 85 Browns. 76, Franco Harris, Rocky Blyer, both over 1,000 yards. In 85, the Browns had Kevin Mack and Ernest Biner both go for over 1,000 yards.
Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack. Okay, I got you.
2006, the Falcons had Warrick Dunn and, this isn't running back, so it's different, Michael Vick go for over 1,000 yards. The Giants, 2008, Brandon Jacobs and Derek Ward. I would have never gotten that. The Derek
you
Ward part.
You would have thought it was Tiki.
Yeah, exactly. 2009.
Yeah.
2009, the Panthers. Actually, I do remember this duo of Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. They both went for over 1,000 yards. And then in 2019, you know, not two running backs, but Mark Ingram went over 1,000 and Lamar Jackson went over 1,000. With just running backs, it's only happened 3, 4, 5 times in NFL history. So that you buried the lead. That should have been your lead. Washington becomes the 6th team in NFL history to have two running backs go over 1,000 yards.
But I'm going to tell you something
Bill
else,
Merritt,
Kevin.
And
people aren't
Chris
talking
Rodriguez.
About this. I think a lot of people don't seem to understand this. That offensive line is going to be much, much better this year. And I think
I agree. I think they're going to run the ball much better. I agree with you. Two backs over 1,000 yards? No, unless it's Jaden over 1,000 with one of the other two. That would be my prediction. If they had two go over 1,000, it would be Jaden being one.
So who do you think would be the other?
I don't know yet. Yeah, let me wait until Sunday because I'm not sure. I said to Ben on the show yesterday, I'm wondering whether or not one of the two, Rodriguez or Kroski Merritt, might be inactive for the Giant game. You typically don't carry four backs on game day.
And I think that's kind of – well, here's a better question for you, Kevin. Okay. Is McCaffrey going to be inactive on Sunday? Because it seems like –
I don't know. They've got him back there with Debo and kickoff returns. All right, let me move on, Mark. You're the best. Thanks. Let's go to D.C. D.C., don't be surprised if your bold prediction I want for the upcoming season.
Great day, Kevin. I don't want you to be surprised if Trey Amos wins Defensive Rookie of the Year and he has six picks and I'm in alignment with Mark's statement, man. Our DBs is going to be great this year. Quan Martin back there backing them up and leading
the way. Is Abdul Carter, Abdul Carter would be the favorite, right, Max, to win Defensive Rookie of the Year?
I believe that is correct right now.
Who else is there to choose from? I got to go look at the draft.
But didn't they get a linebacker from Georgia?
Yeah.
Abdul Walker. Carter, Travis Hunter, Jalen Walker, Micah Williams, yeah. Mike Green, yeah. Shamar Stewart. Those are kind of the top of the board at the moment. You could take a Jihad Campbell flyer at 18-1.
Jihad Campbell, people are talking in Philadelphia like he is ready to become a legit guy right now. You know who
like
else
it.
They're talking about a lot?
Who's that?
James Pierce.
Ooh.
In Atlanta.
Oh.
But whatever. It's preseason talk.
Trey Amos.
I've got the odds in front of me now. Trey Amos is way down the list. 50, but that makes it bold. Right? That makes it bold.
Yeah, he was 50-1 last I checked. So that's a big swing on Trey.
All right, DC. Appreciate it, man.
Put 100 on it and let it rock, Kevin.
That's right, baby.
Exactly.
All right, brother.
Let's go to Chris in Maryland. Chris, your bold prediction. Don't be surprised if.
Hey, Kevin, nice hearing you. But I had James Pierce as my defense rookie of the year, too. But
the word has been he's looked dominant. But, you know, what are we talking about, right, you know, in preseason? We'll see.
Yeah, but don't
Falcons
be surprised if. I'm like, yeah, I'm a Falcons fan. But I love listening to your show, and I live in that area, so I hear it all the time. So don't be surprised if the Commanders' secondary, like the first caller said, don't be surprised if your secondary struggle this year. And this is my point. Why? Because I think they're going to struggle against the run again this year. I don't think y'all made enough moves to solidify your run defense. And I believe that Bobby Wagner's on the tail end of his career. If you watch Bobby Wagner a little bit, how deep he play, that's because of his lack of speed. But he still make good angles and everything, though.
Yeah, because he anticipates so well. He's so smart.
Right. But if your defensive front is not plugging it up, and your offensive line is getting to the next level, that makes your linebacker struggle. So I believe that the secondary is going to struggle because you can see the Commanders loading up the box to stop the run against a Saquon Barkley or the Giants, offensive line. But and also another bold prediction: don't be surprised if Jaden Daniels lead the lead in turnovers this year. My reason is if you win a lot of shootout game and you're and, you know, you're forced to run the ball more, forced to drop back and pass, and more strip sacks this year. But I believe the NFC East this year, I believe the winner is going to be 9-8 this year. And I know I might sound crazy. I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles is as good as advertised. And I think they're going to lose to Dallas week one because they've been
Yeah, tomorrow night's interesting because the world is definitely pegging this as an easy Philadelphia win. Thanks, Chris, for the call. Appreciate it. Everybody else on hold, stay there. We'll get to your calls next. Bold predictions on the upcoming season. Don't be surprised if mine is that Jaden throws for 40 or more touchdowns. Max's, don't be surprised if Washington ends up with a top three secondary. Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. Don't forget you can watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Please hit the subscribe button and the like button when you get there.
Pretty simple question for you. Do you think Terry McLaurin will be on any type of a pitch count in week one against the Giants on Sunday? The reason for this question, you can answer now, yes or no, our poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, 106.7 The Fan Twitter account, is based on comments that he made to reporters this afternoon. This was about 40 minutes ago. John Keim of ESPN tweeted, Terry McLaurin, when asked if he felt he'd have to be on a snap count Sunday. Now, what you will not hear in this answer is the word no, okay? He did not say, be very, very easy to do that if he's not going to be on a snap count. Hey, do you think you're going to be on a snap count on Sunday? You could just say, no, I'm full go. No, I'm going to play every snap. No, I'm going to do what I normally do. Here's what he actually said. I feel I'm in great shape right now. I'm going to be communicative throughout this weekend and how I'm feeling Sunday. But as of right now, I feel really good to go, end quote. That is not no. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be on a 15-snap or 20-snap count. But I have said all along, I know a lot of people feel like he's just going to come back, be in great shape. Of course, he's in good shape. He could run on a treadmill for an hour, I'm sure. He could sprint for 30 minutes without stopping. He could run a marathon. Different than football shape.
Mm-hmm.
I have felt like he is absolutely going to be on some type of pitch count, especially because they have a short week and they play again on Thursday. So you can't run him out there and risk injury with 65 snaps. Ideally, if they can get enough first downs and move the chains enough against the Giants, and then another 59, 65 snaps against the Packers. 130 snaps over a five-game span is completely unrealistic for a guy who didn't have a training camp or a preseason in any way. Now, you could say, okay, well, that's a lot of snaps. It might be 49 and 57. Still, if you want to add it up to about 100, let's say, which it's going to be more than that, that's not an ideal situation for a guy who just hasn't been on the grass or played any football. Other than the last 12 days and very scaled back practices as they ramp up now for the start of the season. But Danny, he could have said, it would have ended this thing, and I'm ready to go. I'm full go. They don't have to worry about me. I'm going to play. It's like the hold out, the hold in never happened. I did not hear that in that answer.
Right, and I think that's because that's not what the answer is. Like, if he was 100%, now, again, I always hate this. We learned this distinction with Robert Griffin so many years ago, the difference between cleared and 100% and, you know, all those different things there in that scale.
He is healthy, yeah, for sure.
He's 100% healthy, and that's not what this is about. This is about, it would be foolish, quite frankly, to go, okay, treat him just like he'd been here the whole time. Because you're asking for a pulled muscle. You're asking for a strain. You're asking for something as a guy that's going to go compete at the highest level we've got, whether it's running a route, whether it's a block, whether it's, you know, doing everything that you have to do on a football play to make it successful. There's a reason that, as you said, guys that go jogging for extended periods of time don't just trot out to the NFL. It's a completely different kind of shape that you can't compare to because you're not being hit. You're not doing all the different parts of recovery. You need time. People much smarter than me who have done this. Kadri Ismail was on with the Junks. Dan Orlovsky obviously didn't play receiver in the NFL, but he observed, he said, yeah, it's going to take a while. He's not going to be himself for a while, and it'd be stupid to expect him to because you're now risking the season. Where you say, okay, go out full bore, you pull something, and now you don't have Terry McLaurin himself, not just for 1 week, but for five or six, and now it becomes kind of the story of the year. There's no reason to do it other than you'd love to have him out there at full speed, but you also have to be patient and judicious.
I also don't think teams and coaches think this way, but while the Giants game is added value, more important, worth two, so to speak, because it's a divisional foe, the week two matchup on Thursday night against the Packers is probably actually a more important matchup on paper going into the season with another fringe playoff wildcard caliber team. Now, again, teams don't view it that way. But I would bet, and a computer would tell you at a very, very high rate, that the result against the Packers on Thursday night football a week from tomorrow is actually going to matter way more to them than the result against the New York Giants in the opener because of Green Bay being probably really good and the Giants probably not being that good. And I say that only to then say, I need Terry McLaurin available to go make a big catch for me on third down and to score a touchdown and to help put me over the top against a better opponent. I don't know if I can beat the Giants without Terry McLaurin, but I like my chances to be in that game at the end. With the Packers, who are theoretically better, I think I'm going to need all hands on deck. I'm going to need my horses. And so I can't have him go out there and give me everything he's got against the Giants. And then come Thursday, now I've got to be extra careful and he can only play 17 to 20 snaps or something. I need to work back from how do I get a really good McLaurin against Green Bay on the road performance? Because if I could get to 2-0 through 10 days with two conference wins, including one in the division.
Huge deposit there.
I'm farting through silk. Like, that is gold.
So you start to think about, and actually, I know that's antithetical or tough for old school folks to hear that a division game might matter less, but think about the NFC and how crowded it is. Teams that they're going to be, again, just foreseeing and looking towards regular levels of prognostication, they're going to be competing directly with Green Bay, with Atlanta. They play. These are two of the teams they play in the first 4 weeks of the year. Chicago, potentially, in that really tough division. But the Seahawks, the Lions, the Vikings, that's before you get to any of these divisional games. So, yeah, the easiest path, just win your division. That's easier said than done, of course, when Philadelphia's really good, the defending champs, one of the best rosters in the sport, etc. The NFC's pretty crowded.
teams that they are, again, directly going to be competing with, your NFC record matters a lot. The head-to-head record is going to matter an awful lot. And again, Seattle may not be as good as they are, but they're playing in a potentially weaker division. So if Seattle does what they did last year, what they seem to do every year, win 9 or 10 games, how much more important is that Seattle game where you end up playing them? So there's actually some validity to what you're talking about.